So the secret's personality. You know, when you start looking at your personality, because people always want to change. And if you really want to affect deep change, you need to change your personality, because your reality is based on your personality. You know, it's your personal reality. We all have slightly different realities, if you will, and it's based on our personality. But there's four basic aspects to kind of make up your personality people don't even think about. And this is true, especially if you want to alter your personality. And a lot of this comes from, as a lot of you know, I study addictions. I've been in the addiction world for over 30 years, 35. And when you look at how people overcome an addiction, it's applicable to so many other aspects of people's lives with an addiction or without an addiction. So when you look at it that way, it begins to change. But let's look at your personality slightly differently. So let's say there's four basic things that make up your flowing personality, because your personality is somewhat fixed, but what are some of the things that make it up? Well, first of all, there's your mood. You know, every day you wake up, you might have a mood. You ever have a mood? You wake up, somebody goes, I'm in a bad mood, right? Sometimes you might have a reason. You're on your way to work. There was an accident. Some guy cut you off or something. You got a ticket. So that could put you in a bad mood. Now, a mood will last for a short period of time. You know, I don't put real time on it, but a mood. So it'll affect everything. But your mood, you know, affects your outlook, right? Now, I'm kind of trying to figure if your outlook affects your mood affects your outlook, right? But you have a general outlook. And a lot of times that's based on your mood. Now, if you're in a bad mood, then you kind of have a bad outlook. You know, the person that the day before, if they would have said something to you, you go, eh, no big deal. But when you're in a bad mood, you take it personally and you blow up. We've all had those kind of experiences if we're human and we want to admit it. So your mood, which kind of flows, some days you have a good mood, some days you have a bad mood. People say things like that. I'm in a great mood today. Well, okay. Right? Or I'm in a bad mood today, you know, which gives you a bad outlook on life. So it's your mood, your outlook, those kind of go together. And then if you stay in that mood long enough, if you stay in a mood for a few days, and it goes, I would say, a couple weeks, then you have a, you know, it begins to affect your temperament. You know, we say he or she has a good temperament, a bad temperament, you know, and it's not just that, but your temperament. Are you positive or are you negative? Do you look on the bright side or the dark side? Do you look at how things will go right or wrong? Are you lighthearted and funny and have a good sense of humor? Or are you more serious and linear that way? So what's your temperament? Now, your temperament can be somewhat driven by your mood. When you're in a bad mood, if you have a part of your temperament that easily goes bad, well, then your temperament will go, right? But your temperament kind of, a lot of these kind of double back and will affect your mood. Right? If you have a good temperament and something bad happens, you're probably easier to shake it off. You know, do like the, you know, Britney Spears song, just shake it off. Right? But if you have a bad temperament and something bad happens, it just feeds it. So it becomes a loop. So you have your mood, your outlook, and your temperament. Now, if you stay in these long enough, it develops your personality. And that's where these become long-term personality traits, you know, and they're kind of underwriting. And your personality traits kind of line up. Are you positive? Are you negative? Are you lighthearted and humorous? Are you serious and didactic? I mean, all of these things kind of flow through it. So the reason this happens, we develop our personalities through time as we're growing up. You know, as a lot of it's handed to us by our parents and the situations we happen to find ourselves in, you know. If you grew up in a violent situation, you probably have a violent temperament, a violent outlook, you know, things like that. But if you grew up in a safe environment, you have a safer outlook, a safer temperament, things like that. So all of these things begin to flow, right? But again, so whatever your base personality is, you know, positive, negative, move toward, move away from, all these things we study with NLP kind of go towards it. And the way these personality things kind of tie into our NLP is what we would call meta-programs. You know, are you a detail-oriented person, right? Do you want all the details? If I was going to offer you something, do you want all the details or do you just want the big picture? These kind of go with, hey, Lisa, they kind of go with your it's going to help your personality, right? That becomes part of your sub-drivers. Are you detail-oriented or are you big picture person, right? So when you think about that, it's kind of cool. Do you move toward a goal or away from pain? You know, a lot of us in the NLP hypnosis change world, we kind of move toward a goal. It's sometimes why we disconnect from a lot of the general population, because a lot of the general population is only motivated by pain. They only want to change when they're on fire. I can tell you this from the addiction world. Usually people that go into addiction treatment or reach out for help because they're having a damn good day. You know, this drinking and drug is just doing great for them. No, they're in pain. They're on fire, right? And so you're constantly moving away from pain. So you move toward a goal or away from pain. And as I said, are you a specific person or a big picture? Are you internally motivated or are you externally motivated? This also sets kind of your temperament, kind of your outlook, you know? So do you do something for yourself or for someone because it makes you feel good? Or do you only do things because you want the outside, some kind of outside intrinsic value? So is it intrinsic that you do things or is it extrinsic? Do you want the external validation, awards, things like that? So, you know, these kind of things begin to set some of your personality aspects. And so the reason I say that, so you have kind of whatever your base personality is, and people don't even think about their base personality. One of the great things we got from the recovery world, which comes from a lot of the great writers, which is you have to examine your life, you know, and the recovery world says, you know, take an inventory. Because if you don't know where you are, if you don't take an inventory, you don't look at your personality the way it is right now, and you really look at it objectively, how can you get anywhere else? And this is what happens to a lot of people, you know, unless they're on fire, like they're driven by pain or loss or suffering. And they say they want to change, and yet they're not willing to change any aspect of their personality, or they want to change their entire personality. But your entire personality changes a little at a time, if you really think about it. And, you know, there's a lot of research on habits, and what they say, you know, if you can change one aspect, it's called the keystone habit. When you have a habit that you change, it'll ripple through and change a lot of other things. The keystone habit there, hey, Sean, Bruce, hey guys. So a keystone habit would be like exercise. They usually look at exercise. When someone adds exercise to their routine and it becomes a habit, they generally will then, even if they're not trying, they'll start eating a little better. They'll start taking better care of themselves. They usually sleep a little better because that one habit of exercise is a keystone habit. Other habits build on it much easier. And then it ripples out. Now, maybe they wanted good health. Well, you got to start with these small habits. So when you look at if people want to change their personality, in other words, you don't like your reality right now and you want to change your life, you got to change your personality, maybe a little bit. Again, so if nothing changes, nothing changes. So the first thing you have to do is take a good hard look at your life. Who am I? Where am I at? Things like that. Now, once you look at your life and you realize, you know, maybe these are some of the things in my personality I need to change. You know, I'm too quick to anger. I'm too quick to be judgmental. I'm too quick to place blame on others. I don't take responsibility the way that, whatever your personal shortcomings or character defects are, these are the things you begin to need to change. And these can be minor changes. This is why, you know, when you also look at habits, whether it's a keystone habit, another guy wrote a book about small changes equals huge results. That's not the name of the book. That's kind of the theme of the book. So, you know, if you make a small change, it'll ripple through. So even if you just start taking responsibility for your life or not looking to place blame, whatever a small change, it begins to build and build and build. And sometimes that small change, what it can do, if you want to look at it from the analogy I'm using here, it's kind of like pulling out a block so the whole wall begins to crumble, right? And you know, like let's say you start pulling out that block that supports your current personality, which is I'm quick to anger because I always place blame. It's not my fault. It's your fault. It's not this. It's that. So let's say I take that out of my building block of my personality. Other things may begin to fall, right? So then you look around your life and things begin to shift. So what you want to do is look at these aspects, right? So if you take a good inventory, it helps you change. The other thing that happens is then you begin to realize certain aspects of your personality. Hey, Gregory, I haven't heard from you for a while. still doing your stuff with Mr. Robbins. But the so you when you do your inventory, then you begin to notice a lot of your associates, you know, will support where you currently are. You know, as our dear friend Tony Robbins says, you want a better life, get better associates, right? Change your, as we'd say in the addiction world, change your playmates and your playpens. So you begin to realize, you know what, if I'm really going to change my personality, one of the things I need to change is maybe the people, places, and things that I'm hanging out with, you know? Now, there may be certain aspects of your life currently you're stuck with, maybe certain things in your work, certain things in your personal life you can't quite change, but we have an interesting insight that 99% of the population doesn't have, which we know that our minds don't know the difference between a real or a vividly imagined event. So let's say you want to change and be more successful, and so you want to have more successful friends. Well, your current group of friends may not be as successful as you'd like. What if you get a different group of friends in your mind, people you know that are successful, people that you see having success? What if they become your peer group, right, in your mind? Again, because as I say, you don't always rise to the level of your dreams, but you always fall to the level of your peers. So these associates, these peers, you get better peers, you know, you're going to do better, you know, and this is true in a lot of aspects of our life. You know, in shape people hang out with in shape people, wealthier people hang out with wealthier people. And sometimes it's not about limiting others' access. It's just about, you know, if we want to talk about the law of attraction, well, you want to hang around people that think like you, you know, that want the lifestyle you want. So again, if people do this all the time, they get turned on to the secret of law of attraction, law of creation, whatever we want to call it. And, you know, they'll pray for a big personality change, and yet they don't change at all. They don't change anything in their life. You know, they wake up, as I say lately, they wake up and they, when you first wake up, you have this magic moment when you're first waking up. When the light hits your eyes, so when you open your eyes, the light hits the back, it goes deep into your brain, and your brain begins to turn melatonin into serotonin and dopamine. You begin to get woke up. On those first few minutes, you may be somewhat out of it a little bit. This is normal, and we call it coming to our senses, right? When you're first coming to your senses. Well, many people reach back to their past to find out who they are, which that's just kind of what we do. But then what they, unfortunately, then what we have a tendency to do is we take our past, we put it on today and into the future, right? So today is going to be just like yesterday, and the future will be like last week, and things keep going. So you take, you know, in that first moment when you're waking up, if you reach back in your past, and most of us, unfortunately, pull out all the problems, issues, challenges from the past and lay it on today, right? And then what happens, your brain becomes a servo mechanism looking for confirmation. So, oh, look, because my boss justifies me being angry or being, you know, not being validated. My, whatever it is, you know, you'll look for validation. You know, this is the reason I can be angry. This is the reason I can do this. This is the reason I can stay in an active addiction, whatever it is, because you're just basically replaying those old tapes. Because intellectually, it's and we can sort of think about the fact that your past does not have to affect today, right? The past is the past. It's not today. We kind of know that, but does it work as we go into the future? That's the difference. And again, this is all about your personality. If you want to change your reality, you got to change your personality, or at least aspects of your personality, right? And so this is what I've been working on, some of the things that work on. So in that first moment, here's a free coaching tip. In the first moments when you're waking up, you know, a lot of us are busy when you first wake up. We got animals to feed, dogs and cats and, like, in our case, horses and all this, a bird. We got all this stuff we got to do. We all have to do that. So it would be nice to get up and take a 30-minute meditation and maybe, you know, drink your coffee nice and slow and ease into the day. A lot of us can't do that. But what if you could just take a few minutes, 3 to 5 minutes, take a few deep breaths and just realize that today is today. It's not yesterday and it's not tomorrow. All I have is today. As we all know, the only thing we're all given is right now. You know, nothing else is guaranteed except right now. So if you just take that, and then if you ask yourself a question, because your brain main job is to answer questions, how can I be the person I want to be today? So if you're trying to change and you know you're quick to anger, quick to resentment, quick to fear or jealousy, whatever your trigger is, how can I let go of my anger today? How can I let go of my jealousy today? How can I be more loving today? How can I be the person I truly want to be today? If you do those kind of things, if you ask that question, your brain has to go find it for you. And I'm just saying, do it for a couple of minutes with some nice deep breathing. And imagine as you're breathing in, you know, it's just going in and you're just thinking these few quick thoughts. And then as a sealer, if you just would take just a few seconds and think about a few things you're grateful for. You know, I always say my dog smiling, a hot cup of coffee in the morning, whatever it happens to be, those little things. And, you know, sometimes people go too, I call it batshit crazy, with this gratitude list and they want to write 37,000 things. Just one or two, three things that you're grateful for. You know, especially things that are you're grateful for, they just are. You know, there's a difference between being, you know, something you've worked toward and you got, yeah, there's gratitude. It's a little bit different. Just, I'm just grateful, right? Because gratitude opens up some certain neural pathways they're finding out. So if you think about how can I be a better person today? How can I let go of whatever your biggest glitch is today? How can I let that go? How can I be, and then how can I be more loving or a better person, a better dad, a better husband, a better father, a better wife, whatever it happens to be. And then just think about those things, right? And it shifts your perspective. Now, I didn't realize the power of this. I've been doing it for years, mostly in clinical settings. And then I started adding this to every aspect of my life. I was directing a play a couple years ago, and we would start the rehearsal process with everybody take a few deep breaths, close your eyes. And then I'd have them think about something that went good today. What went good today? Because usually my rehearsals, this was community theater, was in the evening. So I think, what went good today? So they would, yeah, you know, maybe you had a good day at work, maybe you had a good day working, whatever. Just think about something that went good and lock that in. Then I'd say, now, I'd like you to ask yourself, how can I enjoy tonight's rehearsal? How can I enjoy tonight's rehearsal? What can I learn about myself and my character tonight? Now, remember, this was for a play, so they're playing a character. So what can I learn about myself and my character tonight? And then what can I learn about acting? That was it. And then say, open your eyes. Now let's get started. I noticed when I did that, the rehearsals went much smoother, much faster, and people had more fun. And then I would add things like, how can I easily remember my lines? Because a lot of actors talk about, of course, we call it getting off book is always the most difficult thing. So if you just ask yourself, and I added that question, how can I easily remember all my lines? Don't, and then I'd have to tell some of the people, though, that because they say, well, don't think about how it's going to happen. Just say, how can I remember all my lines? You know, how can I do this? And then open your eyes, then we'll get started rehearsal, and they're having more fun. Of course, you know, when you're having more fun, you're not doing the stress reaction in your brain, setting off the cortisol, which shuts down your memory. So guess what? People can remember your lines, right? So it was a different aspect. But going back to our personality, and I'll wrap it up. So your mood, which changes by day, can change by situation, which can change that. Well, your mood will affect your outlook. And some people would say your outlook helps affect your mood. So, you know, these two are more short term and they can change a little bit more easily. But kind of the next level is your temperament. Because if you have a mood for a long, long time, it becomes your temperament. You know, sometimes you see people coming back, like I usually think of combat. They've been in the military and they've been in combat for several months. They come back with a jumpy temperament. You know, it may not be permanent. It may begin to go away because, you know, they had that mood for a long time and the mood and the outlook was like always be on guard. You know, you can't, things like that. So it can be settled down, right? When people first get into recovery, one of their temperaments is they don't trust people, right? So we have to work with that. So you have your mood, you have your outlook, then you have your temperament. And then finally it wraps up with this becomes your personality. If you keep it long enough, that becomes your personality, which sets your personal reality, right? Because we all have different realities. All four people could go through the exact same situation. They'll have four different realities if they would describe it. right? Whether it could be a traumatic thing, could be a positive thing, could be this, right? It's all your personal reality. But if you want to change your reality, sometimes you have to change different aspects of your personality. And the way you start that with is take a good hard look at yourself. And then you can begin to change where you want to change and do the things that you really want to do. So I just wanted to do a quick thing on personality, put it out there. Let's have some fun. If you have any questions, get a hold of me at, you know, NFNLP. Just look me up and get on, ask any questions. And again, I've been this year at the National Guild of Hypnotists. In August, I'm going to be teaching the basic NLP. It's been updated and changed. And as part of it, I'm going to be doing a special course, a couple of at least an hour a day, extra, it's a bonus, on hypnoepigenetics, how we can use our thought processes to actually change our genetic code. So I'm kind of calling this hypnoepigenetics. It's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be at the National Guild of Hypnotists, which I think is August 5th through 8th in beautiful Marlboro, Massachusetts. And as a super bonus, the NGH training there is at $19.94 prices, because I've been teaching it for over 25 straight years. So they asked me to do a special bonus. And not only that, you're going to get this extra course as a super bonus. So I'll see you all as we trudge through.